I want to bring your attention to James chapter 2 this morning. And last year we looked at James chapter 1, and God willing, perhaps this year we'll look at James chapter 2 throughout the year. But I want to talk about the subtle sin of partiality this morning. Like I mentioned last year, we went through chapter 1 of the book of James, and James speaks to those Christians that were Jewish, that were scattered abroad, Jewish believers, to Gentile communities. And he ministers to them in such a way where they were no doubt troubled, or they were going through trials and tribulation. So he ministers to them in such a way where he's trying to encourage them to continue on and to keep pressing forward and not to give up or give in. And at the very same time, he tells them to, when you ask God for wisdom during these trying times, asking faith, not wavering. And he also encourages them to not be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Remember, we spoke about those things, how a Christian can live a deceitful life by just hearing the word and not being a doer of the word and so forth. He ends the chapter by saying, or defining, if you will, what true religion is, or true faith is. James chapter 1 verse 26 says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religious is in vain." The pure religion, he says, undefiled before God and the Father, is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world, is helping the Christian understand that pure religion, true faith in God, has a disciplined tongue, has a compassionate heart, and also has a holy walk. And he encourages them in this area, finishes a chapter in this area, but I don't believe it's complete. He goes on to say to them in chapter 2, and he challenges them how to live out their faith, how their faith ought to be lived out, not just professing faith. Remember how he says that faith without works is dead. And we understand that we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But if we have true faith in Christ, then Christ is going to work in our hearts that faith will produce works through the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, and we understand that by looking at other scripture. But he still challenges them in this area, how this faith needs to have love. You know, faith, needs to walk, and it needs to express one of the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. And so he challenges them in an area of not to show favoritism, not to show, not to be a respecter of persons. So there was no doubt, because he's challenging them in this area, these people perhaps were struggling. Perhaps individuals were struggling, or maybe even the whole church was struggling, by discriminating against the poor, or maybe even the Gentiles that will come into their community. They were believing Jews of the 12 tribes of Israel that James was writing to, scattered abroad, and there was no doubt they were meeting and assembling together. And we know that by him using an illustration there, and we'll soon get to that. But he challenges them not to act like the world acts. The world discriminates. The world shows favoritism. The world sees, those people of high, of talent and position and so forth to be, something. And the poor, untalented, not smart, outcast of society, rejected. That's how the poor view, the people of the world view people. Poor, outcast. Not much talent, not very smart, outcast. Those that are rich, famous perhaps, talented, smart, they're esteemed among men, and the world puts them up on a pedestal. That's why people want to seek signatures and different things. Sign this, sign that, can I have a photo with you? And all this with but if a poor man there on the street, no one wants his autograph, no one wants to have a photo with him. So we see the world esteems people of high regard, and we understand that this happens in the world. But listen, what James is trying to say, this ought to never happen in the church. We ought never to esteem one man over another man because of his perhaps position or his prosperity. As a matter of fact, the wisdom of God says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 20, "The poor is hated even among his own neighbor, but the rich have many friends." Think about that for a moment. The poor is hated even in his own neighbor, but the rich have many friends. So the rich and famous, smart and beautiful are given special treatment in the world, but the poor are despised, counted as nothing, rejected, and that should not happen in the church, though it happens in the world. I want to point out three things here. Point out the instruction given to the church, the illustration used, and then at the end of this, I want to focus on the iniquity exposed. What kind of damage this has when we show partiality. First of all, he says in verse 1, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." In other words, what's he trying to say is that the faith that you possess in Jesus Christ, don't have it with respecter of persons. Don't have it with showing partiality. Have not, practice not your faith with showing partiality. James is simply saying that don't live your Christian life with respecter of person. Don't show favoritism. This faith that you possess in the Lord Jesus, you ought not to favor one person above another person. However, it's important to understand that what we're going through the introduction is that there are some things to consider. In other words, it's important to understand that, you know, there are certain areas that we show honor and respect to people that is not necessarily showing partiality, but rather showing respect to whom respect is due. That Romans chapter 13, verse 7 says it. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Feed to whom feed. Honor to whom honor. So the Bible is not saying, you know, disregard those that are in authority and disrespect them over the poor. It's not talking about that in any way, shape or form. You know, we need to honor those that are in authority, and especially those that God places in authority. But we don't favor them above someone that's not in authority. Okay, we have to understand that. To have respect of persons means to show partiality or discrimination, favoritism, special attention, treating someone differently from another person, based upon their physical appearance, nationality, color, prosperity, position, ability, or social status. That's partiality. When you base favoritism on these external things. All throughout Scripture, we are instructed not to show partiality. As a matter of fact, several times in Scripture, we see God instructing people not to show partiality. I want to touch on a few things. I can't go in detail with all these verses that we'll look into this morning. Hopefully next week we'll get into these verses in a more detailed way. But first of all, as we see, God instructed Moses to teach the Israelites not to show partiality. And the reason for this is that God is holy and he doesn't show partiality. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 1, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for the Lord your God am holy." In verse 15 he goes on to say, "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the persons of the poor, nor honor the persons of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor." So it doesn't even matter. Poor or rich, those that are weak or strong, there needs to be judgment in righteousness, not showing partiality to either of them. And number two, the judges of Israel were instructed not to show partiality. Deuteronomy 1:16, "And I charge your judges at that time, saying, Hear the causes between your brethren." Now there are three classes of people here. Notice them. He says, "Hear the causes when you bring disputes together between your brethren, and judge righteously." Look at this: "Between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of men, for the judgment is of God's." Ye shall not be intimidated by those that are in authority, or those that have power or position or money. Don't treat them any different. Have righteous judgment. For the judgment is of God, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And I will command you at that time all the things which ye shall do. And we see Deuteronomy 16, verse 19, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not wrest judgment or twist. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous." I don't want to stay here too long. Maybe next week we could, go deeper into these passages. But number three, Jehoshaphat instructed his appointed judges not to show partiality. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 5. "And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of the Judah, city by city. And he said to the judges, Take heed what you do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in judgment. Wherefore, now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." What a motivation. that he points to God, that God is not one that has iniquity and he doesn't show any partiality. So our judgment must come from the Word of God, not from what we perceive or what we think or what we see or so forth. It must be based upon the Word of God. Number four, God is in his wisdom instructs us to not show partiality. Look in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 23. These things also belong to the wise. It's not good to have respect of person in who? In judgment. It's not good. In other words, making decisions based upon truth is what God desires. It's not who you know. It's not taking sides or not taking sides of your friend or family, but rather taking the side of the truth. By the way, truth is what helps people. Number five, Paul instructs Timothy not to show partiality when rebuking sin. He says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and elect angels that thou observe things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by what? Partiality. And this is after he addresses who? The older men, the older women, the younger men, the younger women, widows and elders in the same category. He says, I charge, verse 21, he says, verse 19, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. And he comes, verse 21, not to show partiality in judgment. Doesn't matter who you are. You know, the pastor or elders of churches are not exempt from being rebuked if they sin. They're not. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're sitting in the pew or you preach on the pulpit. You may respect that person because they hold and honor the Word of God and study the Word of God, but it doesn't mean that they're excused from being church disciplined if they sin, and especially if it's vile. They need to be rebuked. Now, here, James talks about showing partiality between, you know, someone that's rich and someone that's poor. In other words, favoritism, looking at someone's appearance and perhaps, you know, someone that's more prominent in their position. Someone that's, you know, lifted up in society. Could be someone that has power. You know, it could be an amazing thing that perhaps... Think about it, you know, the Prime Minister one day being, you know, part of our congregation, or someone in the Parliament, or someone that simply is a mayor or something of that nature, or someone that's prominent, someone's rich, they're in our midst, and walks through those doors. You know, would you treat them any differently than someone that is just off the street? Maybe, you know, doesn't have much, no name, people don't really know them. This is what he's talking about. He's someone that's prominent and someone that's poor. Someone that's wealthy and someone that's has poverty. This is the partiality that I think every single one of us are going to be faced with every day, whether it's in the schoolhouse, universities, work, workforce, church, everywhere in the world, you and I are going to be faced with looking at people and casting judgment and showing partiality with the way we treat them, the way we look at them, the way we, accommodate them. I said accommodate them. He says this. Notice the illustration he used. James uses a very graphic illustration. An example of a person could be guilty of showing partiality. Very graphic. The illustration is probably a hypothetical one, but very practical to illustrate truths and no doubt reveal the hearts, expose our wicked heart and what we think and how we treat people. The religious Pharisees were no doubt a great example of how they treated people in this area. Remember, Jesus was a great contrast compared to the Pharisees. The Pharisees always held men of high regard. I mean, one of the Pharisees, Simon the Pharisee, remember when Jesus came, he was considered to be a prophet, how he brought him into his house and so forth, and he treated him differently than that sinner that was simply outcast of society. That was a perfect example. But over here we see that James giving a very graphic illustration. Look at verse 2 and 3. He says, for if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, someone that had a gold ring in those days was perhaps someone that was wealthy, perhaps even royalty, someone that was in royalty, you know, in goodly apparel, someone that was perhaps blessed, maybe from his father's inheritance. Remember the prodigal son, there was a ring put on his finger. There came also a poor man in what? Vile raiment. So there's a great contrast here. One is well dressed, you know, the clothing is spectacular, gold ring, goodly apparel, and the other one has a poor man in vile raiment. So does that even exist today? It does. If you go to the Solomon Islands, there's a church there, and you'll notice that the people over there in the Solomon Islands, some of them wear their shirt inside out, their t-shirt inside out. And you tell them, you say, brother, your shirt's inside out. And they say, no, it's because this side is clean, the other side is dirty. And they don't have money, or they don't have, you know, funds to wash their clothes like we do. And so they come to church with holes in their shirt and so forth. So when we go over there, you know, I get all my moth-eaten shirts and I sometimes wear them and I blend in perfectly. You know, I've got moth-eaten shirts, you know, they got holes all over the place, and I just wear them. It's great. It's good. I just fit in. I'm, you know, at the end of the day, this passage is not about the rich or the poor. I want you to understand something here. This passage is not about the rich man or the prominent man. It's got nothing to do with him. As a matter of fact, the prominent man can walk in and he's thinking, oh, I hope these people don't, you know, treat me better than someone else. He gets it all the time. Gets out. I hope it doesn't happen here. Well, maybe if you dress differently, you probably won't get that. Amen. But at the end of the day, there are rich Christians. And there is instructions given to rich Christians. The Bible specifically says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in the world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So even to the rich, there's commandments saying, listen, you've been blessed? Bless people. Okay, so it's not necessarily if a doctor walks through that door, we know that God has blessed him with a brain. It's God's will for him to be a doctor. He doesn't even have to try hard to make money. It just comes in. And he can't help himself. Everyone knows that he's, you know, and he's probably hoping, I hope they don't treat me any different than anybody. So it's not even really about the rich man, although the rich man can be high-minded and he needs to protect himself from that. But it's not even about the poor man. It's not even about the poor man, you know. James is not even suggesting that we give extra special attention to the poor man. He's not even saying that. He's not even saying despise the rich man and go for the poor man and focus on him and give him the extra attention. He's not even saying that at all. It's simply focusing on who? The partial man. Because the truth of the matter is, someone could be walking in our congregation or around us, or even us ourselves being poor, but still have a heart to discriminate. In other words, the poor man wants to suck up to the rich man and try to befriend the rich man so he could be well looked after. Yeah, I mean, it could still happen to a poor man. And by the way, the rich man can, it could still happen within the congregation where the rich man can just simply try to, you know, befriend the elders and so forth and have a more prominent place. And the pastor and the elders can actually fall snare into that and say, oh, it's going to be very hard to put that rich man on church discipline, you know, because he's one of our big givers. It's not, you know, it's not about rich or poor. It's about the heart and the way we view people within the congregation. And here he says, don't show any favoritism. Don't treat anybody any more or any less because of their social status or position or their prosperity. It's the partial heart that he's speaking to. But it can happen to any one of us. It can happen to the rich man. It can happen to the poor man. It can happen to any man. Any one of us can fall prey to showing partiality to people. I believe every man should be respected. Every man. And it's very easy to disrespect the low class citizens of society, and they are disrespected, but it also can happen within the church. I want to illustrate this to you. I've asked Joshua and Buddy to graciously help me with the illustration, And they said yes, especially Buddy there walking in with a shirt that's inside out. And I purposely told him to wear some clothes that's rugged, because if you go to the Solomon Islands, like I said, you'll walk in there and you'll notice some, not all, some are dressed like Buddy. So you just have a look. Let's just do this little illustration for the sake of, basically helping James here illustrate to us this extreme illustration. You just stay there for a moment, because I forgot to read the next verse so we can get the illustration in our hearts. Notice the next verse. We'll read it, verse 2 and 3 again. For if there come unto your assembly a man with gold ring or goodly apparel, and there come into also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit he under my footstool. He's saying, aren't you partial? Aren't you showing respect of persons? I want you to see this. I thought it would be good to illustrate it so we can get this extreme illustration that James is saying. So I'm the usher. I'm going to be the usher here. I'm the partial man. He's the poor man, and he's the prominent man. And it does happen. We have three class of people in the church over here, okay? And I'm the usher. These two walk through the door. Yeah, how you doing? Oh, just stand there. Yeah. Yeah, oh, come sit over here. Now, that may not happen outwardly, but James is trying to work on the heart and the way we look at people. That might happen inwardly. Okay, let's just see if we can do it in a different way. You want to? Let's do this. You can still stand there. And then you go find a seat. Okay, go find a seat. Help yourself. And so he walks through, finds a seat. People hardly look at, he's just, look at him. And he's sitting right there in the front. And let's just say that for illustration's sake, this whole auditorium is filled up with seats, and I can't really find a seat. Okay? Oh, hey, how are you? Ooh. Oh, yeah, come. Hey. Hey, come. Oh, yeah. You say, there's no way in the world that I would ever do that. In your heart, you might.
Yeah.
And if you could, you would. And by the way, we do. It's just not meant, we hide it well. The partial man hides it well. Listen, it happens in the workplace. Absolutely. It happens in the workplace. You better believe it. Happens in universities. It happens in schools. What do they say? The teacher's pet. And there's partiality. And so forth. Now, let me give you one more illustration. That's what James is trying to illustrate. This is partial. It's no good. We're going to see it in a moment. It's evil. You become judges of evil thoughts. Now, I want to show you one more illustration. Thank you. Just one more. If you can go back over there. Now, we can get this in a way, okay, where now we become, I'm the partial man. I'm hearing what James is saying. And I am absolutely a super spiritual Christian. Okay, I want to follow James's teaching. Okay, so here I'm an usher, I'm a partial man still, but I want to be spiritual. And so this time, the men come walking in together. He's the rich man. All of a sudden, I've gone to the other extreme. Oh, hi, hi. Hey, how are you, man? Come, sit. And who have I despised? The rich man. Yeah, because all of a sudden, I don't want to show any favoritism. And I want to make sure I'm doing what the Bible says, but I've despised this person. James is not even talking about that. The norm out there in the world is that the poor are despised. But you know what happens in the church sometimes? Those that are in authority or those that are famous may be despised. Well, I'm not going to look at them. I want to be spiritual. I want to focus on the outcast of society. Was James trying to do that? No way in the world. No way in the world. He wanted the partial man to treat them equal, because there's no difference between Jew or Gentile. There's no difference between a master and a servant. There's no difference between a rich man and a poor man. There's no difference, especially in Christ. There's no difference in Christ. God looks at him the same. We ought not to show any partiality to neither of these men. And here, the reason why James emphasizes on the poor man, because the poor in that day were oppressed. Hence, he uses verse 27, the fatherless and the widows were neglected. The fatherless and the widows were neglected. Poor, outcast. And he's saying, hey, no, these people need to be taken care of. You need to take care of these people. And so do you see this picture? Do you see this picture, this strong picture that James is trying to illustrate here? I think it's very important that we see it that way, because every one of us has it in our hearts, and we can actually destroy men whom God died for. Listen, whom God loved. You know, God loved Nicodemus just as much as Lazarus. Did you know that? Yes. Nicodemus was a prominent man, a religious ruler. God loved Joseph Arimathea just as much as the beggar that was begging. God loves the publican. God loves the Pharisee. You said, but didn't he treat him differently? In judgment he did, in righteousness, in truth, absolutely. But not when it came to love and mercy. He didn't discriminate. He saw men both lost in need of a savior. That's how he saw them. And that's how we need to see people. Aren't you lost in need of a savior? But there's reason why that there's partiality that is given this way, and we're going to see now the iniquity exposed. Let's have a look at verse 4. Thank you very much for being willing to do that this morning. I think that's very helpful, because if it ever creeps up in our hearts, we don't do it. We don't discriminate against a rich person or a poor person. We treat them both equal. We love on them both the same. We respect them both the same. We don't disrespect either of them. I said we don't disrespect either of them. It's very important that God will work this in our heart. Only God can do this perfectly. And he's left the Holy Spirit of God within our hearts that we may walk in his steps. And we'll look at that as we close. But have a look now, the iniquity exposed. James chapter 2, look at verse 4. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? See, if you do this, if you show favoritism, if you despise, if you look down at the poor and you show partiality to those that are rich, he says, aren't you partial? Listen, he says this, aren't you making a distinction? Partial, dividing, divided. Aren't you divided? Basically what James is saying, you're discriminating. You're being partial and become judges of evil thoughts. The outward actions, no doubt, of favoritism were based upon external reasons and revealed their hearts, their inward thoughts. It just only manifested. The way they treated the rich man, and the way they respected the rich man, and the way they were favoring the rich man can be evident and seen, but it was a heart problem. And then there's no doubt Jesus always says that sin, outward sin, is a heart problem. He says in Matthew 15, verse 18, and those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the what? Heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed what? Evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Brethren, there are reasons to why people show partiality. There are reasons why people do it, and there's something taking place in the heart. There's something going on here. Why people show favoritism. What are the reasons? Why do you think people show partiality? Well, I think it's a selfish reason. For the most part, to get gain, perhaps to be popular, to earn favor, to be accepted, to be part of a group, part of a clique. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 21, to have respect of persons is not good. Look at this. For a piece of bread that a man will what? Transgress. You know, this is a lack of integrity. Showing partiality for a piece of bread, favoritism based upon personal gain. Look to what extent? A piece of bread? Well, the wisdom of God is showing us that man will go to the extent of showing partiality for even a piece of bread. Just for a piece of bread. That's a subtle sin of disrespecting God, by the way. It's not only a subtle sin of the heart or evil thoughts, but it's a subtle sin of disrespecting God. Have a look at verse 6. It says, but ye have what? Despised the poor. To treat the poor this way is to despise them. In other words, is to insult them. You know, they're people too. They may not have much, but they have Christ. And the verse that follows says they're rich in faith. And that's what God wants for every man. But they're people too. It doesn't matter if they're a garbage collector. Doesn't matter if that person cleans the person sitting at his desk is working away. The garbage collector comes in, he takes the garbage, and the guy sitting at the desk doesn't even say hello. He's the garbage collector. But then all of a sudden, the director comes in, and he's sitting at the desk. Director comes in, gets out of his chair. Hey. They're people too. The garbage collectors are people too. Yeah, that's partiality, folks. And you know what? Despising them is insulting them. They're people, their souls walking in. You say hello, you greet them. Who are the most greeted today? The famous people. People run after them. People run after the prominent person. People run after the prominent preachers. People run after this, that person. And the little pauper over there that loves God, shoe shines. Yeah, but God, you know, by the way, God uses the shoe shine to shine, to bring glory to him. Did you know that? He uses those people, the poor people, the despised people of the world, to bring glory to him. And he's done that on purpose. He came, he wasn't born in a palace. He was born in where? And then, where was he born? Animal House. He didn't come riding on a chariot there on the triumph entry into Jerusalem. He wasn't riding on the chariot. He was riding a what? A donkey. He did that on purpose. And so it's a subtle sin of disrespecting God. You say, how do you disrespect God when you disrespect the poor, despise them? Well, Proverbs 14 verse 31 says it. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his what? Maker. By the way, God uses people to care for the poor. God uses the church to care for those that are down and out. God wants his mercy and his compassion to flow through the Christian to meet the needs of the poor. Verse 31, he that oppresseth the poor, in Proverbs 14, reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him. How do you honor God? What's one of the ways that you honor God, the proverb writer says? What's one of the ways? Look at this. He that honoreth him, have mercy on the poor. Yep. That's how one of the ways that you can honor God is by loving the poor, showing compassion to the poor. You know, God loves the fatherless and the widows. God cares for them. Yeah, God loves them. He cares for them. And by the way, James deals with this in the second half of his epistle. You know, God uses us to meet the needs of the poor, and he rebukes them in the second half. But he says this in verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Nothing. You see a brother or sister in need, and you say, I'm going to be praying for you. Or maybe God wants to use you to meet that need. That's faith in action, by the way, amen. When you see someone, your brothers and sisters in need, and you have a bow of compassion, God working in your heart, you don't resist that. You say, but there's no profit in it. Well, that, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Are you only going to give those that can actually give back to you? By the way, Jesus said, go and invite the poor to your home and entertain them, because they can't give you back. So what was he trying to say? Is that the Pharisees always had an ill motive in why they did what they did. Was it, what's it for me? And in doing so, they despise the poor, and in doing so, you despise God. The subtle example of the world. That's how the world lives today. James reminds the believers that showing favoritism in this way is worldly. He reminds them that this is an attitude that only brings oppression and opposes the ways of God. Have a look at verse 6. But you've despised the poor. He says, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? This is talking about worldly people. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name of the by the which ye are called? See, showing partiality is something that non-believers practice in the world. It's something that the world exhibits. It's the example of someone that's unnatural, someone that's lives in a natural way, not a spiritual way, someone that doesn't have faith in Jesus Christ, someone that is carnal and not walking in the Spirit of God. This is a manifestation of the flesh, of the world. If we look at the world, this is what the world does to poor people. It says here very clearly, he gives an example, and we can see it, and it does take place in the world. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? How many big companies and big people that have money sue small businesses? They can't even fight those big. It's like they always say it, David versus Goliath situation. Yeah, the big companies or the prominent people or those people that always want to oppress the poor. You see it in the world today. The little man, no name, no nothing. That's why they want to. It's not what you know, they say. It's who you know these days. They want to befriend the rich. They want to befriend the popular. They want to have, look at this, they want to have connections. Because if you're connected, you can get what you want. By the way, I'm connected with the Heavenly Father. Anyone that has faith in Jesus Christ has the approval of the Father, and he is the avenger of those that do wickedly, and I thank God for that. And God will one day judge the world in righteousness. And Jude prophesies about Enoch, Jude 1 verse 14, also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches with ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Look at this. Having men's person in admiration because of advantage. I want to take advantage. So they show partiality. They admire people. It's what happened to Herod. When he killed who? He killed James by the sword. And he saw how the Jews were excited. As a matter of fact, he saw how it pleased the Jews. And so you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to kill Peter. And God delivered him. Praise God for that. And God is able to deliver him. In Acts chapter 12, verse 3, because Herod saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Same thing happened to Jesus. The same thing happened to Jesus with Pilate. You know, Pilate knew that Jesus was an innocent man. Even out of Pilate's mouth, Pilate said, what evil have he done? And just before that, you know what caused Pilate to say that? Because they were shouting and screaming, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate couldn't understand what was going on. He says, what evil has he done? And notice this, verse 15, notice this. And so Pilate, willing to what? Content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus. You see that? Had he made a right judgment, he would have dismissed his case. There's nothing found against him. Two witnesses, where'd you get those from? They can't even agree with one another. Yeah. False witnesses came against him, put him on trial to crucify him, catch him out. Yeah, bribed the soldiers to say, hey, make out that someone stole his body. That's what the Pharisees did to the soldiers. Yeah, they wanted to trick him. And so what they'll do is they would cause this false story to be, unveil. And Pilate saw right through it. And he still showed partiality in judgment. It's a worldly practice, folks. And it might be accepted by the people of the world, but it should never, ever be accepted in the church. Never. Ever. But you know what, brethren? Our heart is deceitful and it's full of evil thoughts. And if it's not guarded, we can be a statistic. Because out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Subtle sin of the world. the subtle sin of the heart, the subtle sin of disrespecting God. In closing, look at verse 5, and we're done. Verse 5, and we'll go back to verse 1. He says this, look at what James says. Hearken, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that what? Love him. You know, God is more concerned with people being rich in faith. As a matter of fact, a place is prepared for those that are poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And by the way, a rich man can be poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, God doesn't look at our bank account. God looks at a broken heart. A broken heart, a contrite heart, one that is coming before God, that sees his sin before God and sees the Savior and cries out and puts their faith in God. But not only that, now begins to follow after him and says, I don't want to be partial. I don't want to be partial. You know, God looked upon people not the same way the world looks upon people. As a matter of fact, when God chose King David, he even taught his prophet a lesson. Remember that? When the prophet Samuel came to pick who? One of his great brothers, tall in stature, big, mighty, Eliab. Yeah? He said, this is it. This has got to be the one. And then God says to him, but the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance for the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord, what? Seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but look at this, but the Lord looketh on the heart. He taught his prophet a lesson. And by the way, prophets and apostles throughout Scripture are taught by God how not to show partiality, because it's a problem with every single one of us. In Christ, we are made right with God. He is our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our redemption. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to, you know, expose those that are wise in their own conceit. It's amazing how he does it. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. And if we are saved, then we claim that we have faith in Jesus Christ. And so if we do, we follow his footsteps and we do not show partiality. James chapter 2 verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing how James uses that. He uses his whole name, not just Jesus or Christ or Lord. He uses our Lord Jesus Christ. If anybody knew Jesus, it would have been James, his half-brother. He saw him. And he can be a witness, and he can say, if anybody didn't show partiality, it was my brother in the flesh. Yeah. And now he sets him as a very good example, points the believers to the Lord God, if you will, because Jesus doesn't show any partiality. As a matter of fact, Jesus identified himself with the poor. He said, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, poor, even emphasis, Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became what? Poor, that through his poverty ye may be rich. Even the enemies of Christ even recognized that Jesus was not a respecter of persons. Matthew chapter 22, verse 16, they sent unto him their disciples with Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the persons of men. Very good observation, and it was a true one. But you know what? It was a true one because they realized that Jesus was not threatened by the position of those in authority. He treated them the same. He treated them in truth and righteousness. Peter can also acknowledge this. When Peter said, notice what Peter said, who had no doubt, had a respect of persons in his heart. Peter had a respect of persons in his heart, but notice what he said. He opened his mouth and said, of truth, I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So God doesn't even show partiality between Jew or Gentile. Now, God was working this in Peter's heart because Peter had been partial in this. He saw Jews elevated over the Gentiles, and God was trying to work in his heart, and God did work in his heart. And look what he said. I perceive, I see and understand. And notice now that God is not a respecter of persons. God doesn't discriminate. God looks at men with faith in him. Listen, Old Testament, God was looking at people that had faith in him. Rahab is in Hebrews 11, folks. Rahab is a Gentile. She's in Hebrews 11. God always looked at men with faith in him. And it was imputed unto him righteousness for doing so. They believed that God was good. And now he understands that Jew or Gentile that believes in God is accepted by God. There's no difference. But even Peter, when he came to that reality, he buckled. Remember? For the fear of the Jews, and Paul had to pull him up and say, listen, brother, there's some hypocrisy here. For the fear of the Jews, he discriminated against the Gentiles. Yeah. Look, listen, brethren, any one of us can fall into respecter of persons. Any one of us. It could happen to us. But what do we do when it does? We have to remember the writer. Look at what James says. James 2:1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. The Lord of glory. Emphasizing the God of glory, the glorious God. Yes. And by the way, he is glorious. He's wonderful. He's glorious. And in the light of his glory, we should treat each other in truth and righteousness and not favor one another over another. You know, can I just say this in closing? What would you do right now if Moses and Elijah were sitting right here? What would you do? What would you do, Elisha? If Moses and Elijah were here, right in these front seats, what would you do? Would you say what Peter said? Oh, should we make 3 tabernacles, one for Moses and Elijah and one for you? And all of a sudden, a voice from heaven, God fixed it up straight away. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Come on. Are you putting Moses and Elijah on the same level as Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory? Listen, folks, let me say this to you. If God split the heavens open now, and Moses and Elijah were sitting there, and you saw his glory, there'll be nothing to you. Nothing. When you see the Lord in his glory, you think, who are these people? Well, they're just like you and me. They're just like you and me. Nothing special. Nothing special. None. When you see God in his glory, and by the way, he's coming in his glory and his power and might, all men will be judged righteously. And if you're not found in Christ, my friend, here today, he will judge you righteously, because God doesn't discriminate. He's not a respecter of persons. He will judge righteously. But if you receive Christ as your Savior, because of him, you can enter in the kingdom of God. Your faith in Christ. God's going to balance the books one day. And he's not going to balance them based upon your talents or your money or your social status and who you knew and so forth. Who is my brother? Who is my mother? Anyone that keeps the word of God by faith is accepted by God. Amen. God does not show any partiality, and we should not either. Amen? Amen. Look what Paul says. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of men that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, peace to every man that worketh good, that's by faith, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons of God. And right there we can say, amen. Amen. Let's pray.